Welcome to Glad News for Muslims, a ministry to motivate, encourage, and equip believers and churches to love all people and to communicate the good news of God's love and salvation to all, including those who practice Islam. One out of every four people living in the world today is a Muslim. The Muslim population doubles every 20 years. With more, here's your host, Sammy Tanago.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back again to our unique program, Understanding Muslims, Their Beliefs, and Sharing Jesus Effectively with Them. We are completing our topic of the credibility of the Bible. And let me start by saying, we know counterfeit currency can be made after the authorized one is first given. Okay? What is the standard that we use to examine currency to see if it is authentic or counterfeit? Do we use the original authorized currency or a recent one? Obviously, the same principle applies when we ask if a book is God's word or not. Of course, the standard should be the earlier holy books, not the most recent book. And to remind you, the Bible existed hundreds of years before Muhammad was born, before the Quran came to exist. Okay, it is not possible, as some Muslims claim, that God first sent the Torah, the Zabur, the Psalms, and the Injil, the Gospel, and then allowed them to be corrupted. Even the Quran indicates harmony with this principle, for in Surah 1094, we read a command is given to Muhammad and to all Muslims to treat the Bible as the primary source of enlightenment. The verse reads, "If thou wert in doubt as to what we have revealed unto thee, then ask those who have been reading the book from before thee." Another point, how could it possibly benefit the Jews or the Christians to corrupt their holy scriptures? What purpose or benefit would it have been to the Christians and the Jews to corrupt their own holy scriptures? Why then would they continue to believe their scripture? If they had done this, how could they bring themselves to pass it on to their children? Such an allegation is irrational. Well, some Muslims claim the Bible may have contained the prophecies related to Muhammad and that they were deleted. Well, I say, where is the evidence? If such prophecies were originally found in the Bible, Christians and Jews would have acknowledged Muhammad immediately. They would have followed him and benefited by sharing in the spoils given to Muslims at the conquest of Persia, Syria, Palestine, Egypt, and many other lands. In the Torah, God warned the Jews, "Do not add to what I command you, and do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I have given you." Deuteronomy 4, verse 2. Also read Deuteronomy 12, verse 32. If such prophecies about Muhammad did exist, why would Jews and Christians bring upon themselves and their beloved children sufferings here on earth and forever by eliminating those prophecies? In fact, the temptation would be greater to try to find the prophecies of Muhammad rather than to eliminate any. For example, by becoming Muslims, they could have avoided a disadvantaged status as a minority at the time when Muhammad died and Islam was spreading rapidly through conquest. Also, you read in the Bible, you will find many statements and paragraphs that show the bad actions and sins of many Jewish religious leaders and people. It does not make any sense that the Jews corrupted the Bible without deleting all the negative words that still exist all over the Bible against them. Okay, now we move to a different point. Now, the gospel is God's glad news. While I was talking with one of my dear Muslim friends, he told me the Quran mentions only one gospel, but the Bible has four gospels. Well, I answered, the word gospel refers to the glad news of God's love toward everyone, which came to us through Jesus Christ. Gospel means good news. It is interesting to read in the Quran, in Surah 3, behold, the angel said, O Mary, Allah gives thee glad tidings of a word from him. His name will be Christ Jesus. Wow. The glad news provided in the gospel for the human race and for you, my Muslim friend, was written by clear revelation from God. It shows us how we can be saved from hell and enjoy eternal life with God. We know from reading the Bible that Jesus Christ, a living person, is the perfect revelation of God to the human race. And we'll talk about that in future programs. We read in the gospel that Jesus went throughout Galilee proclaiming the good news, gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. We read that in Matthew 4. Thereafter, Jesus commanded his disciples to proclaim the gospel, the good news, which he revealed to them, to all people of the world. We know that from Acts 1, verse 8, and Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. The gospel tells us that the Messiah, the Savior who was foretold by the prophets, has come. Wow. That's the good news. Now, divine inspiration comes from the Holy Spirit, my Muslim friend. There is only one gospel and one Messiah, Jesus. God inspired Jesus' apostles through the guidance of the Holy Spirit to tell us about the person, life, and teachings of Jesus. The Bible states, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. This verse means God breathed his words and thoughts through his selected messengers. God is the ultimate author of the message and doctrine of the gospel. We will continue our topic, but before we end, we want to make sure that we pray. Now, pray for me, because our materials and our evangelistic book, we put it in the hands of so many Muslims recently, and we pray that God will use it to help so many Muslims enjoy his love and salvation. Pray for me. I am making an effort to broadcast our radio program nationally, and I am making efforts to get into satellite TV and many, many evangelistic projects, and we really need prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we surrender our lives to you, God. Motivate us, equip us, guide us, God. Equip our fellowships to share Jesus effectively with Muslims and to help multitudes of Muslims enjoy your love and salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please join me for more as we continue in a moment.
You're listening to Sammy Tanago, founder and president of Glad News for Muslims Ministry. Sammy's calling is one, to share Jesus effectively with Muslims, and two, to equip Christians to do the same. The value of a ministry is in the eternal fruits God has enabled the ministry to produce. The proof is in the changed lives. God has been using the messages He inspires Sammy to share to equip His Christian audience. God has also been using the book titled Glad News, God Loves You, My Muslim Friend, which He guided Sammy to write to equip Christians and to help thousands of Muslims become followers of Christ. We encourage you to examine the evidence on our website, gladnewsministry.com. Again, you'll find Sammy's book, videos, contact information for inviting Sammy as a guest speaker, and more at gladnewsministry.com. And please, as God guides you, let others know about our unique ministry and radio programs. Now, once again, here's Sammy.
We finished the important issue of the credibility of the Bible. We proved that the Bible is the Word of God. And if you notice, I used many verses and facts recorded in Islam as a further proof that the Bible is the Word of God, and Muhammad actually did not bring anything new. So why I used many of these evidence? Because it is not a bad idea to start where Muslims are and then guide them step by step by the grace of God and the support of the Holy Spirit, guide them to where God wants them to be. If you look at my website under About Us, I actually put some testimonies of the emails I receive that many Muslims came to Christ after they understood the facts. So now we will start a totally new topic, which is Adam. Adam in Islam and Adam in the Bible. And we tell our Muslim friends that this is an exciting topic, the topic of Adam, because it reveals the desire of God's heart to fellowship with the people He created and to relate to us personally. So the first fact is Adam was created perfect by God. According to the Quran, God created Adam in a perfect condition. We read in Surah 94, "We have indeed created man in the best of molds." And the Surah 2 states that Adam was God's representative, Khalifa, Khalifa. In addition, we read in Surah 15, "When I have fashioned him, Adam, and breathed into him of my spirit." So Adam was wonderful. Adam and Eve, God placed them in perfect circumstances. According to the Quran, God gave Adam and Eve perfect circumstances. He created them in the heavenly garden with awesome view. God gave them everything they needed to enjoy and live a righteous life. We read in Surah 2, verse 35, "We said, O Adam, dwell thou and thy wife in the garden, Jannatu, and eat of the bountiful things therein as where and when ye will." Wonderful. God's desire to communicate personally with us is evident even according to the Quran. Because we read in Surah 2, verse 31, "And he, God,
taught Adam the names of all things. My Muslim friend, this verse indicates that God spoke in human voice and talked to Adam many times. And Adam had a personal, direct, and wonderful relationship with God. According to the Quran, Adam and Eve were able to enjoy perfect fellowship with God. And as you will discover, my Muslim friend, from the Bible, it was the original intention of the Almighty Transcendent God to personally connect and communicate with the people He created, because He is gracious and humble. You see, Muslims are taught that God is so transcendent, so removed from dealing directly or personally with His creation, and that always has been His intention and His will. However, we discover from the Bible, and even the Quran agree, that Adam had a personal, direct, and wonderful relationship with God. Okay, so now we are talking more about Adam in Islam. And then when we finish that, we will talk about Adam in the Bible. And we will make a comparison. So God placed a certain tree in the middle of the garden and gave Adam and Eve the freedom to eat from any tree in the garden except this one tree. We read in the Quran a clear warning to Adam. In Surah 2, verse 35, we said, O Adam, dwell thou and thy wife in the garden and eat of the beautiful things therein, but approach not this tree, or ye run into harm and transgression. Adam and Eve chose to disobey God and ate fruit from the forbidden tree. As soon as they disobeyed God, they were cast out of the garden. The Quran states that Satan tempted and deceived Adam and Eve, and that they failed to represent God. They disobeyed God and sinned. We read in Surah 20, verse 121, they both ate of the tree, thus did Adam disobey his Lord and allowed himself to be seduced. The Quran described what happened in Surah 2, verse 36. And I am quoting, then did Satan make them slip from the garden and get them out of the state of felicity in which they had been. We said, get ye down, all ye people, with enmity between yourselves. On earth will be your dwelling place. The Arabic Quran named the place where Adam and Eve lived before they disobeyed God as Jannatu, which is the same name that the Quran gave to heaven, Surah 9:72. So there is a strong indication in the Quran that Adam and Eve were created in heaven itself, and they enjoyed peace and felicity until they disobeyed God and were cast out of heaven. Note that in Surah 2, verse 36, the form used in Arabic is the imperative, ihbitu, get ye down, which means get down, descend, crash down. The widely acclaimed Muslim scholar and commentator of the Quran, Pickthall, said, here the command is in the plural as addressed to Adam's race. Wow! And we will continue this important point in our next program. Before we run out of time, we must do the most important thing we can ever do, which is go to God. We come before you, God, because we know that without you, we can do nothing. God, we ask you, God, to help us understand the important issues in Islam and help us, God, to use even some of those writings found in Islam as a stepping stone to the gospel. God, we come before you. We ask you to enlighten us, equip us, equip your church, our fellowships, to share Jesus effectively with Muslims. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My Muslim friend, I want to invite you right now to repent of your sins and to pray this prayer with me if you mean it from your heart. God, I don't want to live far from you any longer. God, you love me passionately. God, you have the best plans for my life. God, today I come to you and I declare my faith that Jesus paid the penalty for everything wrong I did. God, I believe that Jesus died for my sins and he rose from the dead. God, I believe that Jesus is my only Savior. Accept me, forgive me because of what Jesus has done for me on the cross. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
I have a coworker who's Muslim. We talk here and there, but it's hard to answer some of his questions.
Okay, we do have a fellow here in our church who is an Egyptian, and he probably knows more about the Muslim faith than what they know. Mm-hmm. And he's written a book titled, God Loves You, My Muslim Friend. Many Muslims have been converted after reading this book. I would highly recommend this book by Sami Tanaho on God Loves You, My Muslim Friend.
This is a really, really good book because it focuses on the love of God for the Muslim, where he shows the biblical revelation of God and his relationship with us is that of father and child, where the Quranic revelation of God is master and slave. And the gospel brings us into the family of God as children of God with a loving, gracious Heavenly Father. Not to mention the fact that the biblical story is true and the story of the Quran is not true.
I have to tell you that God guided me to write the book, Glad News, God Loves You, My Muslim Friend, to answer questions Muslims usually ask about our Christian faith and to present Jesus in the most understandable, convincing, and attractive way to Muslims. God used the Glad News book to help thousands of Muslims become followers of Christ. You can read many testimonies on our website. Please buy as many Glad News books as you can. Keep one of them. Give one to your pastor and the others to the Muslims you will meet through divine appointments. I encourage you to believe that when you take actions and invest in our ministry, God will use your life to help so many Muslims spend eternity with him. To order, call 714-514-2558. Again, 714-514-2558. God's grace with you. Thank you for listening. The phone number we share is my personal number, and I am available to offer you encouragement to share Jesus with your Muslim friends and family. That number once again, 714-514-2558. If God puts it on your heart to enable us to share Jesus effectively with more Muslims, you can donate at our website.
You've been listening to Glad News for Muslims with Sami Tanago. For more information about the ministry, visit gladnewsministry.com. You can also call 714-514-2558 or write Sami, SAMY at gladnewsministry.com. This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa.